so tonight we have the issue of, yes, there are probably some people in this room that recall the movie, the show Candid Camera. I think I saw reruns every once in a while, or there was a remake of it at some point. There was also America's Funniest Home Videos.
Still is.
Uh-huh. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking there was another thing besides
totally
Candid Camera. Totally Hidden Video, right? That was it. We see more and more that there is these cameras all over the place, and we're caught on video, whether that video is being shown someplace or whether it's not being shown someplace. So in my looking around, I didn't realize this, about 5-6 years ago there was a psak published from Revel Yashif. Now I don't know if at that stage of his life it was published in his name, you know, whether he actually, but prohibiting going to the Kotel on Shabbos, because the Kotel had cameras there, which Nancy likes to frequent apparently, and while they were created in a specific way that they thought would be okay, which I think means that it was on automatic, it was continuously running rather than being triggered by somebody going there, still it wasn't under proper hashkacha, so therefore it had to be changed.
Because they're owned by non-Jews, I thought.
Well, right, but then it's a problem. If you assume like one possible way, like they'll show, so then that would be a problem. That would be problematic, even if it's owned by non-Jews. Right? There's two issues. There's the issue of setting the cameras, and there's the issue of being the featured performer in the cameras. So both of those need to be analyzed. So that was a psak that went out, to which Rabbi Rosen, who is the head of Tzomet, wrote something along the lines of, they continue to walk down the path of Chumrah. I don't know why going to the Kotel is a problem. Going down the street would then be a problem, because wherever you go, there's going to be a camera someplace taking the picture of you.
Are there any cameras trying to, you know, looking on the path of Chumrah?
Okay, so this is these questions were discussed over the last couple of years, often as the security grants were made available and many people signed up for these cameras. So we're wondering, oh gosh, is that okay to have these things continuously running on Shabbos? Ours do run on Shabbos, but the screen is left off over the course of Shabbos. At least they're supposed to be left off.
Where the team is from.
The cameras are running, but the screen that you could be showing on, so Andy's supposed to... The image is not being projected, which perhaps...
The issue was it was on continuous run. I mean, that was... So people wouldn't... Because otherwise they're motion activated.
Right, so... So that was the Kotel issue, where they were supposed to be motion run... where they're supposed to continuously run, but sometimes we run a motion. Apparently there was not enough hashkacha to make sure that it was switched to being run on continuously run. So that had to be changed. I don't know if these psakim changed, but that was an issue at that time. But if you think about it, really any place you go is going to have that issue. So the main, the first week, much of the discussion revolved around grumma, which with the Shabbos boat ovens. Last week in our discussion about... What did we talk about last week?
Clocks.
About clocks, the timers. I talked about Shvitas Kelim and also a little bit of Grumma. This week, the discussion really revolves around the issue of Psik Resha Delo Nichalei. Something called Psik Resha, so we may be familiar with that concept called Psik Resha. Psik Resha literally means cutting off the head of a chicken, which some point out is might not be the best example of what a psik resha is. A psik resha is when you do something which is not, but while it's not your intent in doing that action, something else happens along the way, which is automatically always going to happen. So that's what we would call a psik resha. The classic example in the Gemara is if you schlep your chair or bench across soft dirt, so that's going to cause furrows in the ground. Now, the truth is that's probably not a melacha d'oraisa unless you actually want to use those furrows in the ground. Similarly to the issue with cutting off the head of the chicken because your kid wants to play with it, so that's probably not a melacha d'oraisa on Shabbos unless you actually are shechting the chicken in a way that you would actually be able to eat the rest of the chicken. To just cut off the head is probably not going to be considered a psik resha melacha d'oraisa. So anyways, that is our question here as well. I mean, we're doing something that we normally do. We're walking down the street, minding our own business, and all of a sudden, right, we get filmed on camera. Or beyond that, probably is a more complicated issue we could discuss, is all of a sudden a light turns on. So all of a sudden, is turning on that light, what is that? What have you just done? So you did not intend to turn on the light, but by you walking there, it turns on the light. Now, the first time you walked there, you had no idea that there was a light there. But the second time you walked there, you might not have also, because you probably forgot from the week before. But the third time that you walked there, you probably already realized that there's a light that always turns on. And you could probably already, by the fourth or fifth time you walk there, you could probably predict which box on the street is the line that you cross and which the light's going to turn on. Now, is that a problem? Now, the difference between a camera and a light is that a light is probably a violation of a malacha d'oraisa, and a camera is probably, at worst, only an issue of malacha d'rabbanan. It's probably only a rabbinic issue. So that's going to make a major, major difference, as we'll see. Okay, so source number one is from Rav Elchanan Wasserman. So remember, Rav Elchanan Wasserman was one of our profiles in martyrdom that we talked, profiles in persecution, I'm sorry, that we talked about over the summer. This is probably, if not the most famous piece of Rav Elchanan in Kovetz Shiurim, it is probably in the top five. It's his discussion about the concept of psik resha delo nichale. What is that concept of psik resha delo nichale? Something is going to happen, but I don't have an interest, or I don't want that result to happen. So does that make it any better? So it's a question of where to start this discussion. I did not start it in Tosos, where Tosos spells out that there's two possibilities of this. One is from a shita famously known as the Aruch. This is the most number one shita of the Aruch. The Aruch, I'm forgetting the name right now, was a Rav actually in Rome, predates the Bali Tosos, and the Aruch wrote, Psik Resha Delo Nichale is Mutter. Such a thing is permissible. Even though you know something is going to happen, if you don't have an interest in it happening, that is then going to be okay. Comes the Bali Tosfos and say, well, that would then be a problem for these, rattles off about six Gemaras, where that's going to be a problem for, not only in one place, but this Tosfos, not the same exact, but a very similar Tosfos appears probably six times in various areas of Shas. And Tosos rejects that. Tosos says that no, that's not true. That if it's a psik resha delo nichale, you have still violated a din derabanan. You're still not permitted to do it. Now the Aruch has a couple of comebacks, or potential comebacks that we could possibly govern his behalf. But Elchanan gets into this description as to why it would be a problem. Why is it that a psik resha delo nichale, this thing that's automatically going to happen, that I don't have a desire for it to happen, why is that going to be a problem if I have no desire for it to happen? To which Rav Elchanan explains, well, if you know that it's going to happen, so that is integrally part of your action. That automatically, integrally becomes part of your action. Now, the Aruch would argue back and say, no, it doesn't. And not only does it... That doesn't become entirely part. That's his shita. But the Bali Tosfos say, no, it becomes part of your action. Now, why is it then only an Isser D'Rabbanan? Why has it only become rabbinically a problem? So suggests Rav Elchanan, because that's a din of Malachas Mach Shabbos. That's a special Shabbos issue. But it could be that for other issues, a psik resha delo nichale would probably even be a worse issue. His example is Nazir combing his hair, knowing that hair is going to come out. So his intention is to comb, but hair is one of... You know that hair is going to come out, so that's then a psik resha delo nichale, which would then be usher. So that is the premise. How do we paskin in that issue? How do we decide? Is a psik resha delo nichale a unintended consequence that I really have no intention for and perhaps no desire for? So is such a thing mutter or is it usher? So we would probably assume we'd go to Chumrah. However, this Shita of the Aruch has some pretty long legs. It makes it all the way into Shulchan Aruch. The case in the Shulchan Aruch is describing if you have some kind of you want to seal a hole in a barrel. There's a hole in a barrel that's filled with beer, and you want to seal a hole. So by you squeezing in a handkerchief, it's going to squeeze stuff out of that handkerchief. That's definitely going to happen, whether inside the barrel or outside the barrel. And why? But your intention is only to seal the barrel, which is okay to do on Shabbos. But you're automatically going to be violating the prohibition of squeezing. So that's the case that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. And what does he say? Um, uh, So Chavid, let's just start from the beginning. Chavid shepakku bepakak shel pishtan listom nekev shebedafna shemutzin bo yain. So you want to take a handkerchief and seal this hole which wine is coming out of. Yish mi shematir. There are those that permit it. Afal pishi iif shar shelo yischot. Even though it's not possible that it won't squeeze, which is means that it will squeeze. Right, that's a double negative. It will squeeze, meaning it's a psik resha. Vuhu shelo yehei tachtav. That there is no vessel underneath it. I mean, you're not collecting the stuff that's squeezing out. So the kevin she'enu nene b'schitazu, because you're not benefiting from it, have a psik resha, delo nichle. Psik resha, skip the parentheses, psik resha, delo nichle. A psik resha which you have no intention to, which you don't want, u mutter, and therefore is permissible. That is the sheet of the Aruch. It says, it's okay. V'chalku alav, there are those that argue, v'amru, afagav, delo nichle, even though you don't want it, kevin the psik resha hu, Aser, because it's a psik resha, it now is prohibited. Ba'olam nagu heter b'davar. How do we paskin? So people apparently had the minug of relying on the lenient opinion. That psik, now this could open up a lot of interesting possibilities on Shabbos. Right, people relied on the lenient opinion. Ve'no'el nogim heter b'davar. Ve'yish lumor aleim schus. And we could be malamed schus, why that would be. The kimet shabar zarucha chutz l'nura ve'in yad megas l'nura. That you're not actually reaching it. Maybe it's okay for other reasons. Mutter midei dahavi asfog. Okay, anyways, that the last line is Tovla Hanhigam Shaloyhe Kleitakas Achavis Bishash Pagunakev. That you, if you're going to do that, you should make sure that there's nothing underneath to receive it. Now, what did the Machaber not do? The Machaber didn't say, and we shouldn't rely on that. The Machaber pretty much left it as, yeah, that seems to be the Shita. And guess who doesn't argue? The Ramah doesn't seem to argue. So it's kind of it's known that the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah quasi paskind like that Aruch. But it doesn't seem like anyone else does after the 1500s. Like that it kind of leaves it out there, except for one person. Except for at least prominently one person. And that is actually source number three. This is in the journal Hapardes. We've quoted from the journal Hapardes a few times. That's like the ones that have the Coke advertisements in it saying that they're kosher from it was a Torah journal in the 30s, 40s, 50s. It actually had a lot of prominent things that were in there. So there is a letter in the Pardes journal from Rav Simcha Zelig Grieger to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Now, why are they writing letters to one another? Rav Simcha Zelig Grieger was the dayan in the city of Brisk. So he worked for Rav Chaim. So he was kind of Rav Chaim's... Rav Chaim was the Rav Ha'ir, was the Rav of the city, but because he didn't pass in Shilas, whatever that means, so he had this Rav Rieger, who was the posek of the city of Brisk. So Rav Moshe Salvin, when it came out with refrigerators, opening refrigerators, especially back in the early days, so that led to some of these issues. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik wrote a letter to Rav Simcha Zelig, asking him, how did Rav Chaim paskin these shilas? How did my father paskin on those shilas? To which Rav Simcha Zelig wrote, well, there's this Tosus and Ksuvis, Mavur that Tosus de Pligi ala Aruch, so really the Asa Midurabanam Sikresh Lonithlis as well. There is this Tosfos in there is Tosus that quotes the Aruch. They argue on the Aruch that it's an Isser Durabanan when it comes to Psik Resh Dil Nikolai. So what do we see? V'nimsad, the Machlokas Bina Aruch Vatosos. So what does that mean? So that means that we have a dispute between the Aruch and Tosos, right? Two Rishonim, they're arguing on one another, right? Im Aser Midrabanan, about a rabbinic prohibition. So what do we pass when we have a Machlok, when we have a Suffolk, it's not exactly the same as a Machlokas. What do we pass when we have a Suffolk Durabanan? So we pass in Lakula, right? Umavat the Durabanan Shomun Lahakil, right? That we have the right to be Makil. Kfar Hera Beinu Habes Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, right? The Minog Olam Ba'aruch, and not only that, Shulchan Aruch passing that way. Shulchan Aruch said that was the Minog. Ukfar Shamati, Aviv Hagon Zatzal, the Dasa Rambam Ba'aruch. And also Rav Chaim, this is a takes away from that the Rambam passing that way also.
That's clear.
So right, is a machlokas about a din derabanan? Do we rule that that's a suffik derabanan? I don't think that that's the way that we rule. I mean, that's not the standard psak. And this isn't the standard. I mean, that's pretty good logic, but we don't pass in that way. There are other the ideas of Rov Rishon. That's not the way the Mechaber paskin, right? The Mechaber paskin. How did he pask when there was a dispute amongst the Rishonim? 2 out of 3, right? So even if bein lekula bein lechumra, whether right or it's not the way the Ramah paskin based on minug, what the minug was in that area. So that's not really the way we. That's not the standard derech hapsak. But Rav Chaim said why not? That's what it sounds good to me. And therefore, he was mekel on psik reishis lo nichale and said it was mutter. I don't think I'm much. I would doubt even people in the Soloveitchik family passing this way at all. I've never heard of that, and that's not the standard psak either. So on a iser d'oraisa, a psik reishis lo nichale, we still assume is a problem, and that would be what. So just very quickly, the light case where you have a sensor. Right? So even assuming that it's a psikreisha de lo nichale, because I don't have intention for it now, I've argued for a while that I don't even understand why it's a psikreisha de lo nichale. In my mind, it's a psikreisha de nichale. You want the light. It's helpful to have the light. So I remember when Rabbi Willa gave shirim on something having to do with this topic, where he's talking about this, he mentioned this issue. He said, it's a psikreisha de lo nichale, because you don't want it to turn on. So someone said, but you want the light. To which he said, but you don't want it to turn on. So I always had a problem with this, because, well, then you could say, I don't want to violate any malacha d'oraisa. So anything that I do is going to be a psikreisha adonichle, because I don't want to violate a thing. So I always had trouble with that. There are those that distinguish and say, well, it depends if there was light there already. There's light there already, so then maybe it's a psikreisha adonichle. But I went, not this past summer, the summer before, I spent the Shabbos in Richmond, Virginia. So the shul in Richmond, Virginia is on the border of Richmond and the county that's next to Richmond. And the county that's next to Richmond does not have one traffic light. Not traffic light, doesn't have one street light in the entire county. Have you heard that? You've heard this before?
We've been in that shul.
You've been in that shul, and you notice that one side of the block, there's no light. And our hotel was in that area. We walked a mile a Friday night in the pitch black, like mamish, the pitch black, over the course of that night, except there are plenty of people that have these lights that are turning on as you walk by them. Now, it happened to be our first time, so we had no idea where they were. But,
but if you walk down the street, like their street, there's some lights that turn on Yarmouth.
Right.
So you don't need them because it's
true. So those that make the point. It's also unclear, like, why do people put those lights up? Are those lights put up? Are those lights put up to help the guy on the street? Are those lights put up for security? Are those lights put up?
They're put up by the owners, I guess, for security.
Is it for their own security, or are they being good Samaritans? Are they, you know, being, you know, helping people on the road? You think it's for security? Okay.
Yeah.
So then maybe it's low nichole for them.
If you're a burglar and the light comes on, you're going to think twice about burglary.
Okay, I was always bothered by that. You are benefiting from it. And then, you know, same thing with the refrigerator. The refrigerator also. Well, I don't want the light to turn on. It's for secretion of low nichole. Well, what do you mean? It helps you. It is nichole. It helps you find the thing in the refrigerator that you're looking for. So whether that's nichole, that will come up soon as well, that trying to figure out what is nichole and what not. But I remember it was adamant. He said, well, you don't want it, so therefore it's low nichole.
Robert?
Yes.
So when you walk in an area and the light goes on, say it's the first time.
Yeah.
All right, so you didn't intend to put it on. You just walk and it happens to come on. But you do know that if you walk a certain distance, it's going to go off.
Right, so that walking of a distance is usually, there's a couple other reasons why one could be makel with that. Walking a distance, first of all, you don't know where that is. I mean, you know that it's someplace, but you don't know which step it's going to be. Probably turning it off is you're not really turning it off, you're just not providing the action to keep it on. So you're not actually doing anything, you're just absenting thing. So at worst, we're only talking about something derabanan, and otherwise you're going to be stuck in this place for the rest of Shabbos. That doesn't work.
Truth is, if you just absolutely stopped in your tracks and waited, it would go off.
Right.
A lot of them do go off.
Right. No, it's
predictable.
Right.
That's what I say.
Right. Yeah, no, it's they're motion detectors.
In
Rabbi Ribe at Sefer, he mentions that if you're in the situation, you have no other choice, you should close your eyes. And that way it's low nichole, but you're not getting any benefit. Now, you only have to close your eyes once it's on, it's on. But you close your eyes in order but then it's in order to leave. So he actually writes, ask your local Orthodox rabbi. So they're trying to figure out what this scenario is. Like, well, he says you open your eyes and now you're stuck, so I'm looking for a rabbi to... Yeah. Anyways. Okay, so...
You open your eyes, you're looking for a rabbi.
All right, so that's with Dine D'oraisa. So what about Dine D'rabbanan? Now, when we're talking about cameras are probably only D'rabbanan for reasons we'll get to. Why would it only be D'rabbanan? It's not something... Well, let's hold off on that. So Truma Sedeshin writes, well, that in a case where she'ain mischavin, kam mischavin lehusetis, or but she'ain mischavin, nochalomar filu ipsikresha havishari, the beisid derabanan yesh lechalik bein mischavin gamor lepsikresha kiyisib etshuvas maram mordechai azar. So the Truma Sadeshin actually says that he thinks that psikresha on a derabanan is mutter. Okay, so even though I know something is going to happen, it's mutter. The prohibition of psikresha at all only applies to dini d'oraisa and doesn't apply to dini d'rabban. So he thinks that therefore it's okay. That's a big kula. If we had that, so we can share right now. Right, that's over. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't paskin that way. The Mishnah Berurah says, "V'nei l'inyan ikar adin hiskim magin avram ve'ali rabba v'hagra v'hagon rabbi kiveir de psikresha aser afa milsa derabanan." Mishnah Berurah lines up his list of machronim that argue on the Truma Sedeshin, and they say, "No, that psikresha on a derabanan is still an iser derabanan." Probably going within the lumdus that Rav Elchanan had before, that it's integral to your action. If you know that it's going to happen, so it's part of your action, and therefore it's in. Whether it's an iser deraisa derabanan, it's like you had kavanah to do it. There really is no such thing as a psikresha denichale. It's integrally part of your action. Now, the question, however, comes, what about a psikresha delo nichale of a derabana? That's kind of where this is going to settle in. Is that okay or is that not okay? So that Tosos, or one of these Tosos in the talk about this, the very last line says, well, the oso tikun mur kamo miyut anavim. So what's he talking about? He's actually discussing plucking off. There once was a time where you didn't get your hadassim in a package. You got them, you had to go and pick them out. Does anybody else remember this? Right? There once was a time where you would like pick them out and they were hard to, one by one you had to pick your hadassim out. And there also were once a time where there were berries on the hadassim. So the Gemara has a discussion about plucking off these berries. And can you pluck off these berries on Yontif? So what's the issue there? So he says, the tikun mu'at kamo miyat anavim, the lo aser elamid derabanan. So he felt, well, taking off these things is only nisid derabanan. Lo gazu kachamim, kasha'ina nen. If you're not benefiting from it, there's no gezeira of the chachamim. What does that mean? So you got a problem because your berries are taking up most of your hadas. So if you are plucking off your berries over the course of Shabbos, so what have you violated? Yep. Over the course of Yantif, right? Anyantif. Right, you're plucking off your berries over the course of Yantif. So that's a problem. That's tikkun mana. You're actually fixing these hadasim up. It says, well, let's say you want to try to eat them, right? You're going to eat the berries. That's what the Gemara answers. So the Gemara then is, so what do we have here? We have a din derabanan. I mean, plucking them off tikkun man is probably only a din derabanan because it's not actually a thing. It's a mitzvah, right? The branch was fine beforehand. It just needs to be used for the mitzvah, but that's not considered fixing on a real, it's not like building a house, making your hadassim levels. That's a din derabanan. It's a psikresha delo nichal, why is it a delo nichalei? You can meet it and love and the low aser element rabbanan low gazu chachamim kesheinu nene. They said that it's okay because you're plucking the berries to eat them. Your branch is not something you're getting hana from. Now you have a kosher hadas. So two answers. Number one is maybe there are other hadasim around. Or number two is that that mitzvah lav lehenos, it's not actually something you're benefiting from. So therefore he says it's okay. So what is he saying now? Psikresha, the lo nichale of a din derabanan, so seems to be saying is okay. Right? Yes.
We're saying here he is eating the berries or he's not eating the berries?
I think he is, which would be a psikresha of the derabanan.
That's not considered benefiting?
Maybe that you're allowed to do on Yontif.
Right.
Okay. So, do we paskin like that? Do we paskin like that, Shita and Tosos? Well, not exactly. There is this Ramah. Now, the Ramah is a difficult Ramah. We've spoken about this in the past. The famous writing on cake issue. So this is the Ramah where he talks about the writing on cake. He says, Usser, the italics part, Usser l'shaver uga shekasav alea k'min osios, apal pi she'im mischavin rak l'achila. So you're not allowed to break a cookie that has letters on it, right? Cutting a cake that has letters on it, even though you only want to eat it. Why? What are we that? The havi mochei. It's erasing. Now, are you erasing? Well, sort of. It's a psikresha, the lo nichalei, of the letters. That's what the Ramah is suggesting, right? My intention is to just cut in order to have a piece, but I'm cutting it, right? That's mechika, but don't have that in mind. So it's only a psik resha. It's only mechika on a level of derabanan because that's not the normal way of cutting a cake. It's only on a level of derabanan because I don't plan on rewriting those letters. Erasing is only a problem if I plan on rewriting it. So the whole thing is only derabanan. So it's a psik resha, the lo nichale of a din derabanan. The Ramah says it's no good. So that's a questionable Ramah, how he comes to that, but that's what he says. So it sounds like a psik resha of a din derabanan, psik resha of the lo nichale of a din derabanan, he still says it's no problem. Comes the mission.
Not
allowed.
It's
not allowed, right? You're not allowed. The Ramah said you're not allowed to do it. Now, there's a famous Nodi Yehuda that gets all upset about this. He thinks you are allowed to do it. But the Ramah said what he said. So the Mishnah Berurah comes along and says, yeah, however, even though you're not planning on writing it, it's still an issur derabanan. Mihu ika va'af she'inu mechavin limchok. Even though you didn't have kavanah to write it, psik resha hu va'asur af midirabanan. Psik resha, and it's a problem even by din derabanan, as we see in Siman Shin Yivav Siftal. Okay, va'ayin esef dogul miravava shematzadit lahakel be'ikra din azeh. So dogul miravava is no de bihuda. So he says, no, you're allowed to do this. Vehu b'shari tshuva. V'yis vismuch alav k'she'inu shover makam osius biyado rak b'fiv. Mishnah Berurah says, what are you allowed to do if you, instead of cutting it with a knife, you cut it with your mouth? You eat it. So now you have two derabanans, right? On one hand, it's derabanan because erasing is really only a din derabanan anyways, unless you're planning on using that space to write happy birthday again. So that's okay. Number two is that it's not the normal way of erasing. Usually the way of erasing is you take an eraser and erase something. Here you're biting into it, so says the Mishnah Berurah, that's okay. Mishnah Berurah says, but when you have two derabanans, that's going to be okay. So the question is, all right, are we clear on that? So, yes?
Why can't we say that cutting is not a normal way of erasing?
Yeah, so apparently, yeah, I'm not sure why the Mishnah Berurah makes it. I've wondered that also forever. On the other hand, or you could say the opposite. Why is it biting into a cookie not the abnormal way of writing? I mean, that's the way that's designed to erase. I think what most say is I think the explanation is that, no, that's the way you're using an object to erase something is the normal way of erasing it, even though you normally use an eraser or you normally use the leaf button or you normally, that's considered a normal way. Using your teeth is an abnormal way of using it. I think it's vessel versus teeth. But I was bothered by that whole thing. I spent a little while on this last year. Okay, so now with regards to this issue of cameras, so once again, he had this issue. I did, when I scheduled the share, I figured, oh, we'll find some material on it. Apparently, Rabbi Bleich, in Tradition, in 2001, published a 15-page essay on everything you want to know about television, videos, and sensors. So he quotes many, that's what he does, he quotes many of the modern day authorities on this. We're going to focus on his quotations. I'm not sure they're actually in print elsewhere. They are, but not in Igros Moshe. I'm not sure if it's in Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa. He has a quotation from Rav Moshe Feinstein as well as from Rav Shlomo Zalman. The Rav Moshe is not in Igros Moshe, I don't believe. Rather, he was quoted very quickly in Tchumim. Tchumim is a journal that comes out in Israel. I'm not sure if it's put out by Tzomet. Actually, I think it might be put out by Tzomet. It's put up, it's constantly dealing with modern application, technical applications, technology and halacha, etc. They came out, they've published a bunch of them in English, I think under the title Crossroads. You may have seen that. About five, six volumes, seven volumes or so. So he quotes from Tchum, where Moshe was asked about, so this first section is, I didn't quite understand what he meant in the beginning. The first question he discusses closed circuit television. The second issue he discusses is what he entitles video cameras. So what's the difference between closed circuit television and video cameras? With closed circuit television, he's talking about just seeing it on a screen, meaning he's seeing it live. The video cameras, he's discussing the issue of, oh, and now it's saved, and does that make it worse?
Or creating it, I guess. The
video camera would be creating it on something else, right? The implication is that you're saving it as opposed to just appearing on the screen. So Rav Moshe has a response here where he's quoted as saying, Rav Moshe responded that, the top right, I put it on and then went. So the top right part on the back of the page says, Roshi responded that since this script is non-durable and is even inferior to writing, therefore it constitutes at most a rabbinic transgression. Right, so at worst, it's a din derabanan. Rav Moshe then concludes that in any event, no transgression is involved since the act is producing an image on a monitor is a psik resha de lo nichalei. So it's a psik resha de lo nichalei because you don't have, you just want to walk down the street. You don't have any intention of showing up on the video screen. And what is he then saying? Because it's not mischai, it's not lasting anything. So therefore, it's no, there's no malach of kosev involved. At worst, it's a din derabanan, and therefore, it's okay.
You notice it says lo ichpat
le. Yeah, lo ichpat le is right. Lo ichpat le is a little is different than lo. The words are different than lo nichalei. Whether there actually is a different lahalacha, a difference lahalacha is questionable or slight. Lo nichalei means I don't want it. Lo ichpat le means I don't care.
Right.
So does that really make a difference? Al pi'alacha. So now, what was Rav Moshe saying here? Was he saying there were two durabanans, or was he saying there's one durabanan? Well, only listed one durabanan, right? He said that because it's a din durabanan that it's not lasting anywhere. It's eno miskayim. It's not lasting. Therefore, it's only a din durabanan. Now, would that be okay? Well, if we go back to our chart on the page before, the Aruch obviously would say it's okay. The Trumas Hadeshim would obviously say it's okay. Now would Tosos say it's okay? Tosos would say it's okay. It's a din derabanan, and it's a psik resha de lo nichalei. Now would the Mishnah Berurah say it's okay? He requires two derabanans. Well, right, you're saying no because Rav Moshe seems to only list one derabanan. Right, his only derabanan that he mentioned is that it's eino miskayim. So is that what Rav Moshe is saying? It could be. One of the shirim the only shir I listened to quickly was Rabbi Ezra Schwartz from Washington Heights, my former counselor. So he gave a shir on this topic where he mentioned that he did some research into this area and said even though the Mishnah Berurah requires two derabanans, the minhag in Europe was to rely on one derabanan. Even though Mishnah Berurah is machmir, the minhag was to be makil on that issue, meaning to paskin like Tosfos. And there's a tshuva in print from Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, who was really a posik of Europe in the late 1800s, asserting that that's the minhag in Europe. The minhag in Europe is to rely on one derabanan. So even though Rav Moshe is saying there's only one derabanan, that might be because he felt the necessity to only say one derabanan. One can make a case, perhaps, that there's more than one as well, but that's all that he listed. Rav Shlomo Zalman, however, says, if you're on the top left, Rabbi Rosen, he quotes from that Rabbi Rosen was wondering about this and saying, my question is, why are you so sure that it's a psik resha de lo nichalei? Right, we've been assuming all along that it's a psik resha de lo nichalei. Why? I've been asserting it into your head. That's a psik resha de lo nichalei. But are we so sure that it's a psik resha de lo nichalei? Now, the way Rabbi Vleich presents it is, that's where Rabbi Rosen ends it. But Rabbi Vleich continues that discussion and says, why would you think that it's anything more than a psik resha de lo nichalei? Why do you want it? He says, well, you might personally, first of all, if you want it, I mean, if you are going in front of a video camera and making funny faces in order to see yourself on the screen, right, so that would be problematic. But even beyond that, so setting up a situation of having something in a shul, for instance. So I'm not mocking, I don't care if I'm videotaped, but I do want the whole shul. I do want the videotape to happen. It just happens to be that part of the system is, I mean, it's one thing to have an apartment building and I walk in front of the apartment building, I really don't care if I'm videotaped. But if I'm setting up the system for myself, so I might not care that I'm being videotaped, but I want the system to be working such that it videotapes everybody that walks in. So by necessity, I want myself to videotape, just like I want everybody here to be videotaped as well, so that when fill in the blank of the name of the bad guy walks in, he'll also be videotaped. So he suggested that. Are we so sure that it's a lo nichalei? So that.
Couldn't you argue on that, though? If you decided not to come to shul on Shabbos, and therefore you weren't being taped, you wouldn't care that you weren't taped?
You could argue. Yeah.
It's not there because you want yourself to be taped.
Right.
You want the system to be working. You don't really care who is being taped or not. Because then otherwise you would feel like, well, I have to go to show because I need to be taped.
Otherwise the rabbi checks the tape afterwards and takes attendance. I think you could argue that. You could also argue the other way.
I think this would make it secretion.
What?
I think this would make it load.
Right, no, your argument would push it back to the Lo-Nichle category, which is what Rav Moshe seemed to be assuming, which is what we were all assuming for the last half an hour, until I kind of put in your head, well, wait a second, are you so sure that it's Lo-Nichle? Maybe it is good for me because the whole system is working. That is the suggestion he puts out there, which is when Rav Shlomo Zalman's answer, he says that he doesn't even think the whole thing is kosev in the first place. So Rav Shlomo Zalman had expressed the opinion, top left, that utilization of a closed circuit television is permissible under all circumstances, because the image projected on the monitor cannot at all be considered to be encompassed within the category of writing. Then he has a paragraph to explain how televisions work, that it's working based on a system of lights that's flickering on, which I didn't understand. You could find the article and work it out, but he felt it's not considered writing. And then he continues on. Apparently, Verbach did not regard images produced by electronically generated fluorescent illumination as even ephemeral writing, because such a phenomenon involves neither imposition of one substance upon the other, nor rearrangements of an existing substance. It's just light that's being moved around. There's no substance that's being moved around, and therefore it's not even included under the malacha of writing at all. So that takes care of closed circuit television. When you're taking a video and it's appearing on a screen someplace else, so okay, as soon as you're move, you're off the screen. I mean, nothing really changed. It could be, this is Rabbi Schwartz's mashal, let's say you walk up to a mirror and look at yourself in a mirror on Shabbos. So you are just as much creating a image on the screen in front, the mirror screen in front of you, as you are on a TV. Now, the TV is a little bit worse because there's an electronic thing going on, but that then puts you in the electricity issue. That takes you out of the kosev issue. And an electricity issue is not really about whether you've created something. It's more about, have you caused electricity to flow? Which if the video is going anyways, so the same electricity is going no matter what. So therefore, Shlomo Zalman seems to say that there's no kosev issue at all with the closed circuit television, but that only for now, so far, is not what we have here. Right? We don't have a guard sitting by the desk watching everybody as they come in. Right? We're discussing, our situation is a little bit worse. That moves you into chapter 2, or part 2 of Rabbi Blythe's article, which has to do with the video cameras as opposed to the closed circuit television. Right? Plus, what are the video cameras doing that the closed circuit television is not? By the way, to avoid this issue, so why do we turn off the screen? So why do we turn off the screen? It says, well, Rav Shlomo Zalman is quite a chiddush, and Rav Moshe is saying it's a secretion of nichol, there it's okay. But on the other hand, maybe you need two durabanans like the Mishnah Berurah, so we might as well turn off the screen. But if the screen is left on over Shabbos or Yantiv, the screen is left on over Shabbos and Yantiv, certainly Yesha Milismach. Rav Moshe thought that was fine. Rav Shlomo Zalman thought that was fine. So Yesha Milismach, it's a chumrah that we have that we turn it off over the course of Shabbos. Now, what about saving it? Now, saving it is a little bit worse. Why? Because rather than, as opposed to saying, well, it's just something that's flashing on a screen, it's like a mirror that's reflecting something, here it's actually being saved someplace. Right? There's a record someplace of every image that was made over the course of Shabbos and Yantiv. So is that a problem? So he quotes a bunch that saying that, yeah, that could be a problem. And here Shlomo Zalman comes to the rescue again. I don't think I've ever seen Shlomo spelled with an H at the end. But it makes me feel better because I spell my name with an H at the end and everyone spells it wrong. So sometimes I feel, am I justified in having an H at my end, at the end of my name? The reason I do it is because my real name is Jonah, so I figure Jonah, Yonah, I'm just used to having an H there. But here he puts Shlomo with an H at the end. So anyways, so Shlomo Zalman Orbach permits utilization of a video surveillance system for the most fundamental of reasons. Again, in order to elucidate Orbach's ruling, it should be noted that when a camera snaps a picture, no discernible image is generated on the film. The picture emerges only when the film is developed.
That's the problem. That's not true anymore.
You're saying that makes it worse?
No,
oh, you're saying it's not true anymore.
True.
Right.
We have instant
story. Okay, hold on. Right. Accordingly, taking the picture can hardly be a form of writing. Rohrbach notes that a person who employs disappearing ink is writing on Shabbos, etc. So he's saying what? Because it's not going to be developed until later on. You're not going to see it until later on. So therefore, it's a problem. So comes Nancy and says, wait a second, right? We don't develop film anymore. My kids don't even know what it means to develop film, right? They just know that you send it away to the Snapfish on the computer and somehow pictures come back. But they don't, they're unfamiliar with that concept. But the Sfara still exists. I mean, why is that okay? Because there's no way of retrieving that image without, well, either without developing the film or holding it up to a light and trying to see what's in it. How is one going to see the image that one forms on the security system outside? Well, you have to go into the... First, you have to call up Joel, because Joel's the only one that has the password. And then you have to go back into the system, and you have to figure out where it's going to find and how it's going to show up. Now it's going to show up on the screen. But you're not doing that on Shabbos. You're doing that some other time. So the act of ksiva, if it ever happens, the act of ksiva, the act of writing, is only possibly going to happen some other time. Not actually when you're doing it itself. The appearance of it on some microchip someplace in a box is not going to qualify as ksiva. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman says here, that underlined part towards here, says Rav Orbach adds, albeit without evidence, that it is reasonable, mistaber, right, to assume that even writing of that nature is forbidden by rabbinic decree. Right? He says, it doesn't sound right. I think that's probably this is the rabbanon. Nevertheless, he permits a guest to enter a building protected by a video surveillance system because the writing is carried out in an unusual way. Right? In light of the consideration that since the image is desired only by the homeowner, not by the person who enters, so it's a psikration lo nichalei. It's also a not something that's being done in the normal way. It's something. He says here kalachriyat. It's like being done in an unusual way. That always knocks the level down on Shabbos a little bit. Now that goes back to the question I raised in the beginning of Oriah. When you cross in front of a light, is that lo nichalei? And is that also that's not the norm? That's the way it turns on. I mean, that's how a camera works. Cameras work by filming people that are in front of it. So that's what Rabbi Bleich says. He says, however, Rabbi Bleich says, but I'd like to go back to the first thing he says, that Rav Shlomo Zalman said that it's mistaber, that it's a disser derabanan, that appearing on some microfilm someplace is going to be a problem of ksiva. He rejects that. He says, since no image is created at the time a photograph is taken, there is reason to question whether capturing a picture on a film is prohibited even by rabbinic decree. In the final analysis, the creation of Nicolai, therefore, claims Rabbi Bleich that he thinks that they are mutter. I would claim even in a computer it's even better. Meaning, as opposed to a film where technically you can hold the camera up and you can find it, or you can hold the film of those rolls of film, you can hold it up and you can see something on it. A computer
process. Only after
what?
Only
not
after
until after it's been chemically processed.
Yeah, the roll of film. You don't get a negative without.
Oh, yeah?
That's got to go.
All right.
Fine.
So
it's
when you open it up to light, you kill it.
Fine. Okay. So that's right.
Then it's developed in a dark room.
Right. So same thing with a computer. A computer has to be turned on. There's nothing to retrieve while it's in the state that it's at. So while one could probably, work out a way, meaning that it's a problem, meaning that it is writing, and it's at least writing a love derabanan, and it's not kalach rayad, one can work out, I think you have several levels of dini derabanan that you have here to finally arrive at the psikration lo nichalei issue, and therefore assume that it's okay. So we keep it on over Shabbos, we keep it on in a way that is continuously running over Shabbos, as opposed to having it only turn on when there's some kind of movement, but just as a lechumra, we turn the screen off because that's an easy thing to do. But we don't really gain anything by having the screen on. No one's going to be sitting in that office looking at things. But that is the stock that we here. Yeah. So, oh, raise your hand.
So theoretically, is the only reason then you wouldn't be able to set one of these, let's say, ongoing constant video cameras, let's say in shul on Shabbos, to quote unquote not write but film, let's say, a bar mitzvah,
right?
Because you intend to do it,
right?
Other than that, you could do it.
That's what we would say, that it's probably this is the rabbanon, but it's that's nichalei already. So truth of the Shurim Sedeshin would say that's okay, right? That's a din the rabbanon on a psikration, the nichalei Shurim Sedeshin is all in. But at least he said Mustafa. I'm not sure he It was completely one of, he was it, right? But that's not the way. We wouldn't do that. And that also gets into the issues of, I kind of spoke about Rav Moshe's issues of, like, you know, what's going to happen to Shabbos then if we do those kinds of things? There are certain things that are accepted that we don't do. Right? Yeah.
So in a very practical sense, so every time there's some sort of violent activity in the city, we see on the news that, you know, there's video recording. You know, this was recovered from some security camera somewhere. It was on a street light, it was on a storefront, whatever it was, that you can hardly go anywhere
right now
without being on a camera
right in
some way. And so what's the practical implication for that? Or, say, for purposes of Bikur Cholim, you want to go visit somebody in the hospital
right
on Shabbos or Yom Tov or whatever.
Right. So I think we passed it's mutter. Rabbi Schwartz mentioned, I didn't bring it up, but I didn't go back to figure out what exactly it says. He brought two issues where it clearly is nichale to use video cameras on Shabbos. He quoted one, a shuva from Rav Sternbach, where Sternbach has affiliation with South Africa. He lived there for a while. He was born there. I'm not sure what it is, but he had a shaila from South Africa where the system was is that you went to an apartment to get into your apartment building and the camera turned, you knocked on the door, whatever, the camera picked you up and the doorman saw whether you fit certain parameters of people he'd like to allow into the building, and depending on that, he'd let you in. So that's nichale. I mean, in theory, that's nichale. And the other example he gave was there are hospitals that keep the rooms on 100% surveillance all the time in case somebody falls. Certain wards, I don't know if Penn has this, but there are places that have this. So if there's anything that goes wrong, so they'll see right away that something's going wrong. So that's also nichole. Especially if you use it as like to raise your hand, you know, to put the bathroom sign up. So that's kuli nichole. So is that going to be an issue? So they felt there's enough to be makel on that. I mean, at the end of the day, it's only dinder bani trying to get into the house. There's enough reasons to be even makel on that.
Patient, you're probably a chola anyhow, so you have
right. Oh yeah, the chola shemusa kind of thing. Sure, right.
So then, if we took the technology to kind of a logical extension, that for all of us who will be pedestrians on Shabbos, so we're really not that far out from having cars that have all kinds of sensors on them that will warn the drivers or even self-driving vehicles that will identify us on the street.
Right.
So the implication here is that while it's not being put on film, it's being used to process in some way. That's a human being, and the vehicle should avoid that. And so is that...
It's not going to hit me. It's in my interest that it hit me. It's also in the driver's interest, so he won't get sued.
Yes.
I can't admit. I don't... you know, again, at worst it's a din d'rabbanan. It in some ways might be nichole, but it's not... I don't think that we're there to say you have to stay in your house for all the Shabbos.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Getting back to the lights, would you say the same thing there? Let's say your route to shul.
Yeah, so I can't
avoid lights because.
So I'm somewhat of a machmer on it. I would only go to the point. I think Malkum Tzorach, you could rely on the fact that there is a concept in Hilchos Shabbos that if a din d'rabbanan means you're going to have to stay in your house for all of Shabbos, we're not going to be that machmer on you. So and it could be continuously on Shabbos. So that has ramifications with regards to Hilchos Eruvin, right? That has, but that has ramifications here also. So probably, even though one can make a case that turning on a light in that fashion is a din d'oraisa, probably it's only a din d'rabbanan. I mean, there's enough snifim lahakel. There's enough reasons to say that it's only a din d'rabbanan. So if the only way for you to get to shul ever on Shabbos, my father said he had this in, he visited, I forget if it's San Jose or Santa Fe, one of those two. He spent Shabbos, once for Shabbos there, and it's like at the end of one of these, a cul-de-sac at the end of one of these cliffs that go down 1,000 feet, and the only way to shul was to walk up the block and turn on one of these lights. So, okay, that's, you know, otherwise the deal is you're going to be stuck in the house full of Shabbos. On the other hand, if you know one way has a light and you know the other way doesn't have a light, so you should, I think, to walk an extra block out of your way to avoid an automatic light that you know is going to turn on.
What about these rabbis? They went to a bathroom in the hospital or something. The light went on, they realized it would go off when they left, and so they stayed there the whole Shabbos.
I don't know what type of rabbis we're talking about either. Another question: what about an automatic? If you go into a hospital and all of a sudden you realize it's an automatic flusher on Shabbos.
Yeah.
So the truth is, that's not necessarily nichle for you; it's really nichle for the next guy. So there's room to be making on that also.
We stayed at an apartment building in Washington Heights where the lights in the hallway.
Ah, Ray Schwartz was talking about this.
Yes.
Is it right next to the shul?
Yes.
Yeah, he was talking about this. So he described it was that there's a dim light on the whole time.
Right.
When you walk into the hall, it turns brighter.
Right.
So he thought that that's the example we gave before of having the street light plus the light that turns on the sidewalk. So he thought that that's okay. Was obscuring the nichle, and again, obscuring the nichle, and otherwise the option is you're going to be stuck in your apartment building.
Right.
On the other hand, I would say this, if you have an option of two apartments, now that's not necessarily always the case in Washington Heights, but if you have the option of two buildings, so okay, you should take the other building.
Right.
But he thought that he paskin for his community, that's okay.
Because that's what we were told, but it may be possible. I tried to do it, but I wasn't given enough time to figure out how to walk around the sensor and not turn it on.
Oh, you can walk around with a mirror, no? Work.
You have to hug the wall or something.
Great. You could do one of those scenes from Mission Impossible. All right. Thank you for coming.